Last night, Chaplain Malstead called me from Phoenix, informing me that he was stuck there. We would certainly be justified in thinking what it means to be stuck in Phoenix. Our lesson this morning is the Epiphany, part of the Epiphany Gospel recorded in the second chapter of Matthew. Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the young child, and when you have found him, bring back word to me, that I may come and worship him also." When they heard the king, they departed. And behold, the star, which they had seen in the east, went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way. These are your words, Holy Father. Sanctify us in your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Wise men. The Bible doesn't call them that. Rather, magi from the East. It's been much discussed, maybe too much, precisely what that means. But wise men, they were. What entitles us to call them wise men is that they believed without seeing. They believed what went beyond their human experience. They believed the word from God, the promises of God. St. Paul quotes Isaiah, "Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him." And that is the spirit of these wise men. The Apostle Paul also calls the one that the wise men came to see wisdom in his first letter to the Corinthians. "You are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God." Now, there are many interesting questions about these men from the East. But the more important question is what this has to do with the gospel of our salvation. How is this related to that great question, that great announcement, rather, which came in the night sometime before? "Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Messiah, Christ the Lord. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." What does this have to say about some men from the East finding their way to Bethlehem and their confrontation with King Herod? What does this have to say in our continuing celebration of his coming in this Epiphany season? Herod, in the first place, represents the natural condition in which all of us are confronted by this Christ, God in human flesh. The one root at the bottom of all human hearts, not only those who have accumulated power over others politically or physically, is to preserve at all costs our power, our autonomy, our opinion of ourselves. Anything that threatens that must be struck down. We simply will not give way to any force of intellect or any voice of purity or humility or simplicity that challenges our opinion of ourselves. What is behind the universe must at all costs be brought down to our own level of understanding, as lowly or superficial or shallow or as stupid as that might be. And in this, we are by nature not very much different from King Herod. But these wise men, on the other hand, who represent the Gentile, that is, the non-Jewish world, they know how little they understand. And confronted by the presence of God, God in humble human form, God in the flesh, they bow down and worship him in simple and humble faith. And that way they represent the faithful heart to which God calls us in the presence of this humble child. The words from the prophet Isaiah were fulfilled in the worship of the wise men. And now they are also fulfilled in our worship. Arise, shine, for your light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. The Lord shall arise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you. The Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. We are numbered among those Gentiles. And that is a thought that has confounded some of the most highly admired men of wisdom in this world. How is it that from a despised tribe of people on the eastern end of the Mediterranean Sea, a people subjugated and enslaved and despised by many successive world powers, Persia, Babylon, Egypt, Greece, and Rome. How is it from them shall come the King of Kings? It is indeed a mystery to human wisdom how it should come that a Savior of the nations should arise from among the lowly, insignificant, despised Jews. But it must be an even greater mystery as to why God would want to lay this gift before Gentiles, the races which for so long had rejected his promises. And this underlines for us the depth, the real depth, of what has happened in this gospel. That from amongst the lowliest and most despised of all men should come a Savior who is meant for all people, including those who have for the longest time rejected his promises. He comes to a world of sinners, all nations, Jew and Gentile, and he comes as the righteousness of God. He is the gift of grace presented to all, not by virtue of their own goodness and wisdom, but by virtue of his own goodness and perfection. And those who in their deepest nature are sinners, and in him they are saints, because they have received his perfect righteousness through faith. The Lord shall arise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you. To him alone be the glory. Amen. Let us pray. O God, by the leading of a star, you manifested your only begotten Son to the Gentiles. Mercifully grant that we who know you by faith may after this life enjoy the fullness of your glorious Godhead through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one true God, now and forever. Amen.